Imagine sitting in a corporate boardroom right at the end of the quarter. You're the chief financial officer of this massive downstream energy company. And you've been watching the market indices for 3 months.
Right.
The benchmark margins, like the raw spread between the cost of crude oil and the price of finished gasoline, they are screaming that you should be absolutely swimming in cash.
Just printing money.
Exactly. The market conditions are historically great, but then your financial controller slides the actual income statement across the table. You look at the net income, and the profits are just totally mediocre. The money isn't there.
It's vanished.
Right. Where did it go? So today we're taking a deep dive into an incredibly detailed script and handbook. It's titled The Controller's Edge, and it features the insights of Catherine Rivera, who is an absolute expert in downstream energy and refinery finance.
Yeah, her breakdown is just phenomenal.
It really is. So our mission today, for you listening, is to uncover this fascinating, totally hidden disconnect between market reality and reported corporate profits. We're using oil refinery accounting as like the ultimate extreme case study.
Because it really is the perfect example.
Yeah, to show how a business making millions on paper might actually be financially squeezing itself, and why standard financial statements often lie by, well, telling the literal truth. Okay, let's unpack this, because the core tension here is that classic boardroom mystery, right?
Right.
If the market says we're rich, why are we poor? Or inversely, why might an income statement say we are having a record-breaking month when we're actually bleeding cash?
Well, it is the absolute definition of diagnostic muddy waters. I mean, when you look at a downstream energy company, it perfectly illustrates how a company's raw audited numbers can look completely detached from the actual economic environment they're in. The numbers aren't fraudulent, they're just, obeying in a set of rules that obscure the reality on the ground.
So how does that even happen?
To understand why, we first have to understand the benchmark the market uses to judge these companies. It's called the crack spread.
Okay.
That's just industry shorthand for the theoretical margin between what it costs to buy a barrel of raw crude oil and what you can sell the finished products for, things like gasoline, diesel, jet fuel.
Got it.
So let's say a healthy crack spread in the market right now is $22.50 per barrel. By all external market indicators, you're making a fantastic margin.
Sounds great on paper.
Right. But a refinery doesn't buy a barrel of crude oil on Monday morning, refine it on Monday afternoon, and collect cash for the gasoline on Tuesday.
Oh, obviously not.
The average cycle from purchasing the crude, putting it on a ship, running it through the plant, storing it, and finally receiving cash at the terminal, that's anywhere from 35 to 60 days, sometimes much longer.
Wow. Okay, so that massive time delay is basically the catalyst for the chaos.
Yeah.
Because if the price of global oil moves significantly during those 2 months, which I mean, it constantly
Oh,
does,
constantly.
the accounting math gets incredibly weird fast.
It really does. Let's look at the mechanics of that delay. Let's say the current real-time price of Brent crude in the market today is $87 a barrel.
Okay.
But when you look at the refinery's income statement this month, they aren't actually expensing $87 crude. They use an accounting method called weighted average cost, or WAC.
Right, WAC.
So their cost pool-like, the inventory they are drawing from on paper, is still filled with the $78 crude they bought and paid for 2 months ago.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, you are mathematically matching two-month-old costs against today's revenue. That creates a massive $9 per barrel gap.
And that $9 gap is what the source material calls phantom profit,
Yeah.
which is honestly a terrifying but completely accurate name.
What's fascinating here is the sheer scale of this illusion when you apply it to industrial volumes. Like, if your plant is processing 100,000 barrels a day over the course of a 30-day month, and you have that $9 gap between your accounting cost and the current market cost, you are generating $270 million of gross phantom profit on your income statement in a single month.
That is insane. 270 million.
Exactly. To an untrained eye, it looks like an incredible historic month of operational success.
It's like looking like a financial genius for keeping your grocery bill incredibly low this month, but really, you're just eating the frozen meat you bought in bulk 3 months ago.
That's a perfect analogy.
You aren't actually saving money today or making smarter purchasing decisions. You're just, burning through cheap old inventory. Doesn't this mean executives are constantly in danger of making terrible capital decisions because they genuinely think they are richer than they are?
That is the exact trap that destroys companies. I mean, management teams look at that $270 million of net income and they feel invincible.
Right. They want to spend it.
Yes. They decide to authorize massive new capital expenditures. They pay out special dividends to shareholders, or they set massive bonus targets for the executive team.
Oh, boy.
They spend the money. But that profit is a phantom. It will mechanically, inevitably reverse in the next accounting period when that newer, more expensive $87 crude finally makes its way through the system and hits the cost of goods sold.
And the profit just evaporates.
It simply vanishes.
That sounds like a ticking time bomb built directly into the income statement. But wait, if this phantom profit relies entirely on how we value that old inventory, why don't companies just change their accounting methods? Because companies actually get to pick how they value their inventory under the rules, right?
They absolutely do.
So they essentially get to pick which reality shows up on their public filings.
They do, within the boundaries of generally accepted accounting principles, or GAAP. And each method tells a totally different story to the public. We just talked about WAC, which blends the old and new costs into an average. But there's also FIFO first in, first out. Under FIFO accounting, you are aggressively expensing the absolute oldest, cheapest crude first.
Right.
In a rising commodity market, FIFO creates the most extreme version of phantom profit on the income statement.
But it's totally divorced from what it costs to actually run the physical business today.
Precisely. Now, contrast that with LIFO last in, first out. Under LIFO, you expense your most recent purchase first. If you bought $87 crude today, you expense $87 crude today.
So it perfectly matches the current economic reality. Your revenue and your costs are aligned in real time, meaning there is zero phantom profit.
Exactly.
Okay, stop right there. If LIFO perfectly matches current economic reality and completely eliminates this dangerous phantom profit, why on earth doesn't every single commodity business just use LIFO and take the illusion out of the equation entirely? Like, why even bother with the others?
Because of what LIFO does to your balance sheet. The trade-off is brutal.
How so?
Think about it. If you are constantly expensing your newest, most expensive inventory, what is left sitting on your balance sheet?
The oldest inventory.
Some refineries have historical LIFO inventory layers dating back to the 1970s.
You're kidding?
No. Their balance sheet might value millions of barrels of oil at $4 a barrel.
Oh, wow.
It wildly understates the total asset value of the company, which can terrify lenders, breach loan covenants, and make the company look artificially small on paper. Mm. You really have to choose your poison. Distort the income statement or distort the balance sheet.
You cannot win. So a company is trying to manage this massive exposure to global price swings. And the obvious practical solution in the commodities world is to use financial derivatives. You hedge your bets on the trading floor so your physical plant doesn't get crushed by a sudden price spike.
Right. A well-hedged refinery won't swing as wildly.
Right.
Let's go back to our scenario where prices rose and we generated that $9 phantom profit because of the delayed physical inventory. Let's say the company had smartly hedged 35% of its physical volume by shorting crude futures on the financial market. When the price of physical crude goes up, those short futures lose money. Specifically, they lose $9 a barrel on that hedged volume.
Which sounds terrible on paper, but that's actually the hedge doing its exact job. It's supposed to lose money when prices rise, because you are theoretically saving money on the physical crude side.
Yes, that financial loss perfectly offsets the physical phantom profit. If you multiply the 35% coverage by the $9 price move, you get a $3.15 offset.
Got it.
So the true net reversing gap isn't the full $9, is the $9 of phantom profit minus the $3.15 hedge offset, leaving a net gap of $5.85.
Okay, that makes perfect rational economic sense. The trading desk is protecting the physical plant, but the source material highlights this terrifying accounting rule called ASC 815, which dictates how these hedges are actually legally recorded. And this part, I mean, it completely blew my mind.
Oh, ASC 815 is arguably the most unforgiving rule in all of corporate accounting.
Yeah.
The goal of the rule makes sense. It was designed to stop companies from retroactively cherry-picking successful trades and calling them hedges to smooth out their earnings.
They're anti-fraud.
So, under ASC 815, if you want that financial hedge loss to match up perfectly with the physical crude sale on your income statement, you have to formally designate the hedge.
Meaning what, exactly?
You have to write a specific memo detailing the exact relationship between the derivative and the physical barrel. And that memo must be date-stamped on the exact day of the trade.
Okay.
If you do that, The hedge loss hides safely in an equity account called OCI, Other Comprehensive Income, until the exact moment the physical sale happens months later.
Wait, let me make sure I'm getting this. Are you telling me that if an incredibly busy accountant just forgets to date stamp a memo on a Monday during a volatile trading session and writes it on Wednesday instead? A perfectly executed, totally legitimate hedge looks like a catastrophic financial failure on the public P&L.
That is the exact consequence. If that memo is late by even a day, the hedge is permanently de-designated.
Just from a late memo.
It is non-negotiable under GAAP rules. You cannot fix it retrospectively.
Ah!
Because it loses its special hedge accounting status. The derivative loss hits the income statement immediately, today. It doesn't wait for the physical sale.
Oh my God, so you would have a massive multi-million dollar derivative loss showing up in the current period, making it look like your trading desk is completely incompetent and just blew a hole in the balance sheet.
Yep.
While simultaneously your physical operations side is showing a massive phantom profit from the cheap lagging inventory, making the plant managers look like absolute heroes.
And neither narrative is true.
Wow.
It creates total interpretive chaos for anyone reading the financial statements. The CEO is looking at the raw numbers, thinking the traders need to be fired and the engineers deserve massive bonuses. When in physical reality, the market just moved exactly as expected, the hedge worked perfectly, and someone was just 2 days late filing a piece of compliance paperwork.
That is wild. It really exposes how incredibly fragile the financial narrative of a multi-billion dollar company can be. But untangling these paper illusions, like the inventory lag and the strict hedge rules, is really only half the CFO's headache.
That's right.
Because even if you fix the accounting distortions, what about the massive physical cash drains that the market's crack spread benchmark just stubbornly refuses to acknowledge?
This brings us to the invisible drains on a refinery's cash. The market crack spread assumes a perfectly frictionless environment where you just buy crude and sell gas. But the biggest hidden cost in the United States downstream energy sector by far is RINs.
Right, renewable identification numbers.
Exact.
This is a federal compliance mechanism, right?
Yeah.
But how does it actually drain cash?
It stems from the renewable fuel standard. The federal government mandates that refineries must blend a certain percentage of renewable fuels, like ethanol, into the national fuel supply. But not every refinery physically has the infrastructure to blend ethanol into their gasoline. If you can't physically blend it, you are legally required to buy IINs, which are essentially digital compliance certificates, on the open, highly volatile market from a company that did blend enough.
So if you don't have the specific blending equipment, you are effectively paying a massive, unavoidable compliance tax to your competitors just to stay in business.
A staggering tax. The most common category is the D6 RIN. At $1.50 per RIN, a refinery running 100,000 barrels a day might have to pay out between $125 to $150 million a year in physical cash.
Wow.
Just to buy these digital certificates.
And the broader financial market just entirely ignores this when they calculate how profitable a refinery should be.
Completely. The crack spread prices, the finished commodity, the gasoline, it does not factor in regional or company-specific regulatory burdens. So if a CFO is just looking at the market benchmark, they're going to demand to know why $3 per barrel of their expected margin just evaporated into thin air.
Here's where it gets really interesting, though. Because beyond regulatory taxes, there is the brutal physical reality of running a massive continuous industrial plant. The source material spends a lot of time on fixed cost absorption.
Yes. A refinery is fundamentally a giant continuous flow machine with astronomical fixed costs. We are talking about depreciation on billions of dollars of custom metal, a huge, highly specialized salaried workforce, mandatory maintenance cycles, environmental insurance.
Right.
Those costs exist and must be paid, whether the plant is running at full maximum capacity or coasting at half capacity.
So the math is pretty ruthless. If you are planning to run 100,000 barrels a day and your daily fixed costs are $800,000, your fixed cost is a neat $8 per barrel.
But refineries are physical machines, and physical machines break.
Yeah.
Or they have to be intentionally shut down for major maintenance, which is called a turnaround. If your throughput unexpectedly drops to, say, 70,000 barrels a day because of an issue, your fixed costs do not change. You still pay the engineers. You still pay the insurance. So now that exact same fixed cost base equals $11.40 per barrel.
Wow. Your internal cost per barrel just jumped $3.40 overnight, bleeding your margins dry, and the global crude market didn't do a thing.
No.
It's like calculating the profitability of your coffee shop based purely on the wholesale cost of coffee beans, completely ignoring the fact that your massive, expensive espresso machine broke down.
Right.
So you're suddenly making half the coffees, your revenue is halved, but you are still legally obligated to pay the exact same monthly rent for the building.
If we connect this to the bigger picture, it is vital to understand what exactly broke down inside the plant, because the financial impact mutates depending on the specific unit. Well, a refinery isn't just one big oven. It's a series of interconnected, highly specialized processors. For example, if the crude distillation unit, the CDU, breaks down, that is the main gate for the whole refinery. It literally boils the raw crude to separate it. If the CDU stops, everything stops. That is a pure throughput problem. You lose maximum volume across the board.
But the source explicitly contrasts that with the FCC, the fluid catalytic cracker. How is that different?
The FDC is fascinating because of its specific role. It takes the heavy, low-value leftovers from the CDU and cracks them under extreme heat and pressure into highly profitable high-octane gasoline.
Oh, I see.
If the FCC breaks down, the refinery doesn't necessarily stop running crude. Throughput might remain exactly the same,
Right.
but you lose your most valuable product. You end up producing heavy, lower-value products like bunker fuel.
Right.
So a broken FCC isn't a throughput problem. It is a value capture problem.
You are still paying full price for the raw crude. You are still spending the energy to process it, but you just can't extract the most valuable elements from it.
Precisely. And the benchmark crack spread out in the broader market still says gasoline is highly profitable this week. But your plant physically cannot capture that profit.
That is so frustrating.
And operational failures frequently cascade. Imagine something as basic as the steam utility system failing. Suddenly, six different production units across the plant are operating at reduced capacity because they don't have enough heat transfer.
And if the financial controller isn't incredibly precise in the reporting, the income statement will just show a mysterious widespread financial underperformance across the entire company.
Exactly.
When really it isn't widespread incompetence, it's just one broken boiler. Which brings us to the ultimate question of this whole deep dive.
Yeah.
If the market indicators are totally disconnected from reality because of inventory lag, and rigid rules like ASC 815 create artificial paper losses, and invisible costs like rinds and broken boilers are silently draining cash, standard GAAP financial statements seem practically useless to a CEO trying to run a business day to day.
Without extensive translation, they are practically useless for operational decision making.
Yeah.
I mean, a raw GAAP income statement is perfectly accurate according to the historical rules, but it is deeply misleading regarding the forward-looking economic health of the business.
Right.
This is exactly where the financial controller provides their true value through an internal document simply known as the bridge.
The controller's ultimate superpower.
It really is the most important piece of paper in the building. The bridge is a one-page written document. It is a waterfall chart that walks the executive team step by step, dollar by dollar, from that theoretical market crack spread of $22.50 all the way down to the reported accounting margin of $25.85.
So it literally lines up and explains all the chaos we just spent the last 15 minutes talking about.
Yes. It starts at the market benchmark of $22.50. And then the next line says, add $9 for phantom profit due to WAC inventory lag. Subtract $1.50 for RINN compliance costs that the market ignores. Subtract $3.15 for the hedge timing offset. Subtract 60 cents for the fixed cost absorption hit because the CDU was down for 3 days. It quantifies every single ghost in the machine so the executives can see reality.
And the absolute most important part of this bridge document, according to the source, is that it explicitly flags what is going to reverse in the next period.
It is the only way to prevent disaster. The controller has to clearly visually mark that the $9 phantom profit will vanish next month. The $3.15 artificial hedge hit will unwind.
Right.
But the $1.50 RIN cost, that is real cash, and it is permanent. If the controller does not explicitly flag those upcoming reversals, the CFO might walk into a board meeting and promise the directors a sustainable, long-term profit margin that is mathematically impossible to deliver the following quarter.
The source also emphasizes the importance of something called CFO sentences. I absolutely love this concept.
It is brilliant, and it speaks to the psychology of leadership. Accuracy without usability is just a paper trail.
Oh, that's a good way to put it.
A controller cannot just hand a stressed CFO a note that says WAC CogGS is lagging market indices. That is highly technical jargon that will get a CFO eviscerated on an earnings call with analysts.
Yeah, they'd sound totally lost.
The controller has to write a CFO sentence, a plain English, bulletproof translation that the CFO can read aloud in a boardroom or on a press call without stumbling or sounding evasive.
Something like, the crude we are selling against today was bought 2 months ago when prices were lower. That specific benefit will close over the next 2 months as older inventory cycles out.
Exactly. You're translating the opaque mechanics of historical accounting directly into the physical, forward-looking reality of the business.
So what does this all mean? Is this basically an admission that standard GAAP accounting, the gold standard of global finance, actually fails to tell the true story of a business? So individual companies are forced to build their own custom internal translation layers just to understand their own reality.
I would agree with that assessment entirely. GAAP is designed by regulators to be a standardized historical record of what happened. It is absolutely not designed to be a real-time operational dashboard of what is happening now or what will happen tomorrow.
Right.
The true value of a financial professional in the modern era isn't in generating the raw numbers. Software can generate GAAP numbers instantly. The value is in proactively shaping the narrative, building that custom translation layer, and preventing management from misinterpreting their own data.
It is just wild to think about. Next time you are scrolling through the news on your phone and you see a headline about a major industrial company beating expectations by a wide margin or suffering a shocking surprise loss, remember this deep dive. Remember that the raw numbers flashing in green or red on the screen are often just shadows on the wall. The real economic truth is buried. It's hidden in the timing of when they bought their inventory, the arbitrary accounting methods they legally chose, the strictness of a derivative rule, and, you know, the operational constraints of their physical factories.
It genuinely forces you to read financial news with a completely different, much deeper level of skepticism. You have to stop and ask, is this a real sustainable economic gain based on superior operations or just a temporary accounting artifact driven by a rulebook?
And that leads to a really provocative thought to leave you with today. We've just spent this time establishing how much human translation is required to understand a single corporate balance sheet.
So much translation.
If standard accounting rules are so rigid and detached from real-time economics that a single late memo on a Wednesday can permanently distort a company's financial narrative, what happens as algorithmic trading bots and massive AI models increasingly scrape these raw GAAP statements the millisecond they are published to make autonomous split-second stock trades?
Oh, wow.
Without a human controller's custom bridge document to provide the context and flag the reversals, are our automated global financial systems just blindly reacting to ghosts? Are we rapidly building an entire stock market that is aggressively buying and selling off pure phantom profits?
It is a sobering thought. When machines are programmed to read the rules without understanding the physical reality underneath them, market volatility isn't just possible. It is practically guaranteed.
So next time you see a jagged line rocketing upward on a financial chart, remember the profit might be a phantom. Thanks for joining us on this deep dive.